2 Timothy, we'll read beginning in chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Last Lord's Day, I gave you the sermon entitled The Forward March of the Church from Matthew 16:18. Today, I'd like to give you a message entitled The First Marching Order for the Church of Christ. Marching Orders for the Church of Christ, Part 1. And I'm envisioning we'll do about 9 of those. Today is the first marching order of the church found in 2 Timothy. And we'll read together, beginning in chapter 3, verse 16. If you don't mind standing up as a sign of respect unto the word of God and to the Lord, and we will read it together, beginning in verse 16. Together read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You may be seated. I would like to focus in on one verse here this morning, and that is verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Lord, helping me, I'd like to ask 4 questions. What is the order for the church? What is the marching order for the church? Why is this to be done? When is it to be done? And how is it to be done? And then in the concluding parts, I'd like to give you 3 applications out of this text. What is the first marching order for the church? The first marching order for the church of Christ is given to the pastor of the church of Christ. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was on the west coast of modern-day Turkey, over 100 miles across the Aegean Sea from Greece. It was the provincial capital and the religious center of Asia, as well as home to one of the 7 ancient wonders of the world, that is, the Temple of Diana. After preaching in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul traveled north to Macedonia and left the newly established church there in Ephesus in the hands of Pastor Timothy. Timothy was encountering some serious problems as he undertook this task. New teaching, which contradicted the truth God had given to Paul and the other apostles, had been brought into the church by some of the teaching elders. This led then the people astray and divided the church there at Ephesus. And so in light of this, the Holy Spirit of God prompted and superintended the Apostle of God, the Apostle Paul, to write this urgent letter, 2 Timothy. He encouraged Timothy to remain there in Ephesus to stop the men who were propagating their dangerous ideas and to bring the church back to the task of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Timothy was about 40 years of age, and he was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And what is the charge of the Apostle Paul unto Timothy? Preach the word. Preach the word. Matthew Henry notes, this is the minister's business. A dispensation is committed to them. It is not their own notions, not their own fancies, that they are to preach, but the pure, plain word of God. And they must not corrupt it, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, they speak in Christ. The apostles' charge to the young pastor was very direct and very simple. Preach the word. The preacher is not to air his own opinions, but to proclaim God's eternal, authoritative word of truth. As a preacher, I am to preach the word of truth, not to proclaim my opinions, but the truth of God, not to proclaim my feelings and sentimentalities, but the word of God, not the surveys that I get from people, but the word of God, not the political climate of the day, but the powerful word of God. Not a psychological or sociological study and research, but the eternal word of God. I am to preach the word. That is the marching order for the pastor of the church. This is a weighty charge. The word is used for something of legal affirmation. This is a weighty charge. Why? Because Timothy is to be governed in his thinking, not just by the present life, but also by the coming judgment. By the coming judgment and the eternal kingdom of Christ. You're already there. 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God. Did you notice that? This charge is given before whom? Not the President of the United States. Not the Governor of California. Not the denominational leader. But it's before God. Before Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. That's why it is a weighty charge. The adjuration or the charge given by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit signifies a loud and open proclamation. A loud and open proclaiming, like that of a Kerux who announces the approach of his king. Kids, you know what I'm talking about, because you've seen those movie clips where they go as the messenger of the king. They would unroll the scroll and they'll say what? Hear ye! Hear ye! That is loud and open proclamation. It is not their opinions that they're proclaiming. It is the word of the king that they're proclaiming. And thus, it is loud an open proclamation. And thus it calls for the attention of the people. When that messenger opens the scroll and he says, "Hear ye, hear ye," people stand at attention and pay attention to the word of the king. And the messenger faithfully announcing the word of the king. That is the charge to the pastor of the church. Critics of preaching would suggest, turn down the volume just a little bit as not to offend or tick off the people. They say, you need to be less authoritarian, less elitist. Preaching should be more participatory, less monologue and more dialogue. We want more video clips, perhaps a liturgical dance, maybe, or a theatrical performance. That's what the critics would say. But no, the charge, the marching order for the church of Christ is for the pastor to open up the scroll, the word of God, and proclaim the word of the king. Why? Why is it to be done? Because in verse 16 and 17, we're told of the reason. And what is that? Look at that with me. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Who's going to benefit? You are going to profit. I am going to profit. When the pure doctrine is taught, what else does it do for you? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that what? So that the man of God, so that the woman of God may be perfect. That's a high bar, isn't it? May be perfect. Maybe complete, maybe mature, maybe equipped, thoroughly furnished, fully limbed, fully equipped unto all good works. Why is it to be done? Because God has ordained that through preaching, sinners are saved and believers are sanctified. It is through the word of God that sinners are saved and believers are sanctified. Let it be known in the whole Riverside County then that we firmly believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and God's ordained method of preaching, because it is that which will persuade people to believe in Christ and therefore be saved from sin. There is a story in the biography of George Whitefield about a man named Thorpe who was a bitter opponent of everything that is holy. He and a group of his friends, all of them young, rebellious thugs, conspired together to mock and oppose George Whitefield's evangelistic ministry while Whitefield was preaching in Bristol, England. George Whitefield had severely crossed eyes. If you have ever seen any picture of him, picture of his likeness. And these guys used to refer to him as Dr. Squintum because he had crossed eyes. They called their little gang the Hellfire Club, and they disrupted meetings. They mocked Whitefield on the streets and in public places, and generally tried to make his ministry a reproach in their community. Whitefield's preaching had already made a deep and lasting impact in Bristol, and these young ruffians hated him for it. So this guy, Thorpe, got one of Whitefield's published sermons and took it to the local pub where his club was gathered to drink together while they make fun of the preacher. And this guy Thorpe was apparently pretty good at doing impersonations, and he had all Whitefield's mannerisms and gestures down pat. So he stood in the center of this pub and crossed his eyes and began to deliver a derisive rendition of Whitefield's preaching. But in the middle of the sermon, the Word of God pierced his heart, and he suddenly stopped and sat down, trembling and brokenhearted. Right then and there, he confessed the truth of the gospel and gave his heart to Christ. His aim was to taunt and ridicule the preaching of God's word, but he accidentally converted himself. And that was because of the Word of God. This is why I should preach the Word. And this is why you should listen to the preaching of the Word. Let it be known then that we place here a high primacy to the practice of preaching as against entertaining others with short and shallow motivational talks to edify the believers. We place a high primacy of preaching as opposed to comical and emotional dramas or loud and repetitive sentimental music. Preaching the Word is that which will be used by the Holy Ghost to convince people of sin, and preaching is that which will be used by the Holy Spirit to convert people from darkness into light. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why is preaching to be done? Because God ordained preaching to be that instrument to save sinners and sanctify saints. Why else is it to be done? Because God has chosen to use His Word to bring about the greatest miracle. God spoke the universe into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. He used his word to perform the greatest miracle in the universe. Why is preaching the word the first marching order for the church? Because he has chosen to use his word to bring life. To bring life. You remember Lazarus? One of Jesus' best friends? One of Jesus' BFF? He had been dead for 4 days. And in the words of Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. But what did Christ do? He spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead became alive. That's why we preach the word, because it brings life into the dead. When is it to be done? When is it to be done? Look at our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant. It is to be done persistently. It is to be done now. It is to be done in an instant. It is to be done immediately. It is to be done in season. Out of season. What does that mean? It is to be done whether or not it is convenient. It doesn't matter whether you're convenient or not. It is to be done. It doesn't matter whether you're comfortable or not. It is to be done. It is to be done persistently. It is to be done readily. It is to be done often. The minister has to be on duty constantly, ready for any emergency. In the same sentence as the charge to preach, the preacher is to reprove. What is that? That is to correct the wrong, to correct the heresy, to convict the wrongdoer, to convict the heretic. The preacher is also to rebuke. What is that? That is to censure with strong disapproval to those who are wrong, to admonish, to give warning or reprimand. The preacher is also to exhort. Aren't you glad for that word? That is to comfort. That is to encourage those who are discouraged in the Lord. And the preacher is supposed to encourage them in the Lord. This is a hard task, I tell you. Why? Because I am supposed to comfort the afflicted and then afflict the comfortable. When you are comfortable in your sin, I'm supposed to rebuke you. I'm supposed to reprove you. I'm supposed to warn you. I'm supposed to admonish you when you're comfortable in your sin and when you're discouraged in your walk with the Lord. I'm supposed to come alongside you and encourage you and exhort you and comfort you in the Lord. This is the first marching order for the Church of Christ. How is it to be done? How is it to be done? Look at our text. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. How is it to be done? With all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine refers to teaching. It is to be done through teaching. It is to be done with all long suffering. Do you know how long suffering is, kids? It's long. That's why it's called long suffering. And you know what it means? You're right to suffer long. Patience! That's why in my first letter to you, the members of the church, I ask you to be patient with me and that I be patient with you, because preaching the word of God is to be done with long suffering and doctrine. It is to be done directly, but delicately. That's a hard task. And I covet your prayers. I covet your patience. I covet your persistence in prayer for patience. In conclusion, let me give you three applications as you go home this morning. The faithful master of the church has given his great marching order of preach the word. This is my job description as your pastor, that I am to do biblical exposition. What is that? It's just a fancy term for preaching the word. And how do I do that? I study the Word of God, I read it to you, and then I explain it and repeat. Study the Word of God, read it, and explain. Repeat. Study the Word of God, explain the Word of God, read the Word of God, explain the Word of God, repeat. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God, explain the Word of God, repeat. That's my job description. And I'm supposed to do it directly and delicately. And I'm supposed to do it with all long-suffering and teaching. The second application is this. If you are looking for a good church, the role of the preacher of God's word is the most important thing you must look for. But I gotta go look at the restroom and see how clean it is. That's important. I got to look at the nursery, whether or not they have clean nursery. That's important. But that is not the most important thing when you're looking for a good church. You look for a good church and you look at the role of the preacher. Does he preach his opinions or does he preach the Word of God? That's the most important thing you need to be looking for. Thirdly and lastly, if you are a member of this local body, then you should seek to commit to hear, but not only hear, to heed also God's word that is given by a biblical expositor, not an ear tickler. Why do I say that? Because of this temptation. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. every single one of you have this temptation. And what is that, Pastor Christian? Look at verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they, who is the they? Yes, yeah, you. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Your temptation is you want to get your ears tickled. And so you look for another preacher who would do that to you. That's your temptation. And I warn you now, I admonish you now. Hear the word and heed the word of God. Commit to biblical exposition and not seek for one who will tickle your ears. I'll tell you what my temptation is. Now that I told you what your temptation is, I'll tell you what my temptation is. My temptation is to tickle your ears and neglect the preaching of God's word. That's my temptation.